Yes, this next question really comes into the same sort of territory. In Bhante's system of meditation lecture, he uses the term spiritual death to refer to the practices which help us to break up our present mundane individuality, and spiritual rebirth as practices which allow us to be spiritually reborn in a transcendental mode of existence. As we move towards thinking about those terms in our whole practice, not just in terms of meditation, it seems, at least in my experience, there's been a degradation in their meaning. I often hear people use these phrases to refer to any change made in one's life, labelling it spiritual death if it was a change that was undesired, or spiritual rebirth if desired. For example, I've heard people talk of divorce as an experience of spiritual death and marriages of spiritual rebirth. Oh, wonderful. Similarly for losing, getting a new job, friend, etc. To what extent are these phrases appropriate in these circumstances? Well, yes. The problem is, isn't it, that again, in trying to make us work a bit more at spiritual death and spiritual rebirth from an early phase in our spiritual lives, we come to quite trivial sort of understandings of them. Although not entirely trivial. I think that in a divorce, there may be even a moment of spiritual death or a glimpse of spiritual death. The problem is that it remains just a moment and you pass quickly on to remarriage, as it were, without ever really... No, you didn't. Okay. it's very, very interesting. Sometimes in moments of quite mundane loss, you do have a deep, deep glimpse into the foundations of selfhood. I think probably some of my strongest experiences, early experiences that really led me into Dhamma life, were in, you know, the failure of a relationship when the girlfriend gave me up. It's all right when you dump her, but when she dumps you, then you feel it, and something is revealed. Something of the fundamental character of things is revealed. You do get for a moment, if you pause enough for there to be a moment, a glimpse of the insubstantiality of things. And there's a strange moment when she dumps you, when you're really, really happy. When you get that strange sense of freedom, which is very quickly followed on by oh, she doesn't love me, I'm worthless, I'm ugly, and all the rest. Well, that was my problem, but whatever. But there is that moment in any loss of a glimpse of shunyata. I'm not talking about this in any trivial sense, and it does get trivialized. But every moment of loss, if you attend to it carefully enough, gives you a glimpse into the fact that nothing can ever be had, nothing can ever be fixed, nothing can ever be yours. She never was your girlfriend. In a certain sense, she never saw it like that. She never saw herself as your possession. So in any loss, when your favourite mug breaks, there's a tiny moment of death. The problem is that we don't stay with it, and we very quickly pass on. So whilst I do know exactly what the questioner means, I've heard it used in such a trivialised, rationalising sort of way that it becomes just quite laughable. You really don't know what to say. You are just stunned into silence. A jaw drops open with amazement, and you think, am I being taken for a ride? Are they taking the mickey? Even the piss. And then you realize, no, they really mean it. Or they think they really mean it. But nonetheless, there's some truth in it. Any moment of loss is a glimpse of the reality of things, if you will only attend to it. And the practice of spiritual death is attending to those moments of loss and trying to recognize that they reveal something about the nature of things. I'm not sure I can descant so inspiredly on marriage in the same vein. But of course, there are interesting things to be said about the illusions that are present. Of course, not in your marriage. But so often when we enter into a marriage or whatever it is, there's something we want, something we look for, that the poor dear, she can never actually fulfil. Great as she is, she never can be what you really want. She's what she is. But you, in the phase of love at least, see in her something that's impossible for any flesh and blood to contain. And if you can only sort of stay sufficiently with that and hold it back from its mundane object, there is something of spiritual rebirth there. But you see what I mean? Even though, you know, it is used rather trivially in a justificatory way, a rationalised way, there is something in it. Ordinary life contains something both of the of insight, or the potential for insight, because all the time life is betraying us. All the time we are not getting what we want. And if we'll only attend to that as it happens, we will learn something of spiritual death. Problem is that we do have a little bit of a glimpse and then we rush into fixing it all again. And the problem with the remarriage is, of course, you know, from this point of view, not from other points of view, but from this point of view, the problem is that you solidify your ego identity all over again. That's the problem with the way we live. We fix our ego identity in the structures of our life, in our family life, in our work life. We fix our own ego identity and we try to avoid the messages that life is giving us that you can't do that. It won't work. She will betray you. The job will fail. The economy will certainly fail. And, you know, you will not find sufficient fulfillment in these structures that you set up for yourself. So you have to try to find them somewhere else. So we shouldn't, in our desire to try to bring these deep spiritual principles into ordinary life, we shouldn't see that as a quite trivial matter. What it really is spiritual death is looking at every moment of your life as revealing something about the empty character of this life. And looking at the coming into being in every moment of life as revealing something about possibilities that lie beyond this conditioned world. But that's a larger topic which we'll come on to later. But I fully applaud the questioner's intent, as it were, to draw attention to this tendency to trivialise. Whatever you do, people will do it. However high you present the ideal, people will bring it too low. However near to them you will present it, they will rationalise. And we just have to work with that. But that shouldn't avoid trying to discover the real character of life in the business of life. It's not that your divorce is spiritual death. It's the moment, that little moment, when you do get divorced, when you sense that this isn't just that marriage, this is everything. This is everything. This divorce reveals something about the ultimate character of all life. It's more difficult with the marriage because, of course, you've in the marriage, in a sense, you've fixed upon a course of action. But if in your love, as it were, you recognise something unobtainable within the conditioned, well, then you're getting closer to what spiritual rebirth means. But that's a bigger topic which I haven't got time to now. Very good. I'm very, very glad that people are noticing these tendencies because I've certainly observed them too.